Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada rambut gimbal.
So, tumpeng rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There's dreadlock that is like rice. Another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agricultural trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya, jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nikang-nikung kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling.
Itu yang berwarna putih gitu.
Another detail about dreadlock cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season, where the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual begins, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of the young people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
Aku ingin menjadi mimpi indah dalam tidurmu. Aku ingin menjadi sesuatu yang mungkin bisa kau rindu. Karena langkah merapu tanpa dirimu. Aku ingin menjadi sesuatu yang selalu bisa kau sentuh. Aku ingin kau tahu bahwa aku selalu memujamu. Tanpamu sepinya waktu merantai hati. Seakan-akan kau seperti nyanyian dalam hatiku yang memanggil rinduku padamu. Yeah.
rasa. Cukup tahu sebut dalam diri, harus aku ditegak mulai. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersama kasih. Cukup tahu dalam diri, tak usah ku ganggu kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang. Sakit hati dan mulai ku merasa cukup terlalu berani. Tak usah ku jadi lebih ulangi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi bersama kasih. Cukup terlalu berani. Tak usah ku jadi kamu lagi. Ku tak mau lagi, tak mau lagi sayang.
Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Hello VOI listener, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here's the news read by Ray. First, the headline. President Prabowo trusts Malaysia's probe into migrant worker shooting. Minister Sugiono highlights commitment to strengthen Indonesia-United Arab Emirates ties. And now the news in detail. The first news. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto said on Thursday where he believes that Malaysia will conduct a proper investigation into the shooting of five Indonesian migrant workers by Malaysian Maritime Enforcement Agency officers in Selangor last week. He feared that the issue was discussed during his recent meeting with Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim in Kuala Lumpur. A group of Indonesian migrants was shot at by APMM officers while reportedly attempting to leave Malaysia illegally through the waters of Tanjung Rhu, Selangor on January 24, 2025. One worker was killed and four others were injured in the accident. The Malaysian authorities claim the shooting happened when the five Indonesian migrant workers tried to resist arrest. However, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs denied this version of events. The Ministry's Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens, Judha Nugraha, emphasized that there was no resistance from the migrants. Based on the testimonies of the four survivors, who are currently being treated at Klang Hospital in Malaysia, two of the four injured Indonesians were in stable conditions when they provided a chronology of the shooting to representatives of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur. Hence, Nugraha said, Indonesia has demanded a thorough investigation into the shooting, including the possibility of excessive use of force by the Malaysian authorities. Moving on to the second news, Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono reiterated Indonesia's commitment to enhancing cooperation with the United Arab Emirates by addressing and eliminating obstacles and barriers in their partnership. There are several obstacles and barriers in the partnership, especially in the commercial sector and the business sector, where sometimes bureaucracy is an obstacle. He stated at the Indonesia-UAE Third Roundtable discussion in Jakarta on Thursday, during a meeting attended by UAE Energy Minister Suhail Al-Mazrui. Minister Sugiono also remarked that currently Indonesia is aiming for 8% economic growth rate. To achieve this target, the government is implemented good governance in the business and governmental sectors. The third news, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto urged the Indonesian Armed Forces and the National Police to remain committed to upholding the law and maintaining national sovereignty. He stated this during the TNI Polri leadership meeting in Jakarta on Thursday, where President Prabowo viewed that laws and regulation are meaningless without proper enforcement by law enforcement agencies. He also emphasized that TNI and Polri must diligently fulfill their duties as mandated by law. The 2025 TNI Polri leadership meeting was held with the theme TNI Polri Synergy to Support Astacita to Realize Golden Indonesia 2045. The fourth news, the National Arms Agency of Indonesia aims to collect and mobilize $46 billion in charitable funds to reconstruct a range of public facilities in Palestine, including hospitals, schools, and mosques. The ARM agency had for national digital transformation, Nadratu Zabahosen remarked as cited from the agency statement on Friday, and the agency had been actively delivering humanitarian aid to Palestine, noting that as of Tuesday, January 28, a total of 45 trucks transporting relief goods the agency collected from Indonesian people had entered Gaza through the Rafah Gate in Egypt. The official hopes that the ceasefire agreed upon the Palestinian Hamas freedom fighters and the Israeli occupation forces would last, thereby allowing the philanthropic agency and similar institution to distribute aid more conveniently. The fifth news. The Indonesian government sees its relation with China as very close based on a survey of the Indo-Pacific by the National Research and Innovation Agency. The result of the survey, according to the head agency Legal Research Center, Emilia Justiningrum, are in line with those of the ASEAN People's Perception Survey conducted by the Foreign Policy Community of Indonesia. The APPS states that China is seen as the most relevant partner for the future of ASEAN. Through the questions in the survey, the agency identified 4 points related to Indonesia and China relations, with China emerging as the most profitable partner in economic growth, with the strongest social power projection, and as the most relevant partner for the future. The sixth news, Indonesian Minister of Housing and Settlement Marwar Sirait on Thursday shared Qatar's plan to build housing for the lower middle class in Indonesia. He viewed that the housing program will use state land as directed by President Prabowo Subianto. He also remarked that both countries have agreed to cooperate and sign a memorandum of understanding in the housing sector on funding for 1 million homes for low-income people. The MOU signing was witnessed by President Prabowo and was carried out between Minister Sirait and Qatar investor Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Thani at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. The funding will be provided under a government-to-government scheme between Qatar and Indonesia. With the cooperation, Qatar has become the first foreign investors to take part in Prabowo's priority program of building 3 million homes for low-income people every year. Moving on to the final news. Indonesia Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman has emphasized the need for transforming traditional agriculture into modern one through the development of agricultural clusters, such as a transformation can reduce production costs up to 50% and increase production by up to 100%. At the event of Accelerating Indonesia's Economic Growth, Challenges and Opportunities in the New Era, in Jakarta on Thursday, he said that currently his site is developing modern agricultural clusters in several regions, such as Central Kalimantan, South Sumatra, and South Papua. He feared that the clusters are comparable with those in other countries pursuing modern agriculture, such as the United States, Vietnam, China, and Thailand. The government is targeting to carry out agricultural transformation on up to 1 million hectares of farmland this year. Minister Sulaiman believes that modern agricultural clusters will help Indonesia become a world food barn. And that was Newsline.
Today's commentary is on micro, small and medium enterprises, steal the attention of participants at the 2025 World Economic Forum in Switzerland. The micro, small and medium enterprises sector has long been one of the main pillars of the Indonesian economy. Under the leadership of President Prabowo Subianto, the government is committed to making micro, small and medium enterprises the driving force of the economy. During the inauguration of the Red and White Cabinet, President Prabowo Subianto stated a grand vision to advance micro, small and medium enterprises to move up a class, including going international. There is one micro, small and medium enterprise from Bandung that has succeeded in stealing the world's attention at the 2025 World Economic Forum held in Davos, Switzerland, with their superior products, beef rendang and egg rendang chips. Micro, small and medium enterprise Restu Mandi, which serves food at the Indonesian Pavilion, received a warm welcome from visitors because of its delicious and authentic taste. According to Restu Mandi Business Development Director Ichda Ramadanti, in addition to offering an authentic taste rich in spices, it has another advantage in having complete food quality certification, even managed to meet the standards and certification of the United States Food and Drug Administration, FDA, which is very difficult to obtain. Not only that, this micro, small and medium enterprise has also pocketed various certifications ranging from halal certification by the Indonesian Ulama Council, the Indonesian Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, to being declared good manufacturing practice certified and hazard analysis critical control points certified. Armed with complete certification, this company from Bandung is expanding into the international market. Currently, its products have successfully entered the markets of Papua New Guinea, Qatar, Australia, and Singapore. Another interesting thing, this enterprise does not only focus on profit, but also creates a positive impact on the local community, among other things, by opening up job opportunities for housewives with flexible working hours and working with local farmers around Bandung, West Java, to ensure they get quality raw materials. This is certainly in line with the third ideal of President Prabowo's Asta Cita program, or 8 missions, namely increasing quality employment, encouraging entrepreneurship, developing creative industries, and continuing infrastructure development. In the future, it is hoped that micro, small and medium enterprises can truly play a role as pillars of the national economy. That was commentary.
Thank you.
begin today in history with January 31st, 1926. Nahdlatul Ulama is the biggest Islamic organization in Indonesia. This organization is known for its traditionalist Islamic character. NU was founded in Surabaya, East Java on January 31, 1926 by a number of ulama with Kyai Haji Hashim Asy'ari. Nahdlatul Ulama is the biggest Islamic organization in Indonesia as the first general chairman. Quoting ac.kemdikbud.go.id, with the establishment of NU, traditionalists had their own organization that was managed in a modern way, uniting ulama in most of Central Java and East Java. In 1930, a branch of NU was opened in Kalimantan. Since its establishment, NU has launched various activity programs targeting various fields of life, including the people's economy, science, social, culture, and nationality. By 2023, around 150 million Indonesians claim to be a member of NU, making NU the largest Islamic organization in Indonesia. Moving on to January 31st, 1966, the Luna 6 spacecraft launched. Luna 6 was an unmanned spacecraft built by the Soviet Union as part of their space mission. Designed by Sergei Korolev's design bureau, it was launched on January 31st, 1966 from the Baikonur Cosmodrome, now in Kazakhstan. Luna 6 became the first spacecraft to land on the moon and take pictures of the moon's surface. And we'll end today in history with January 31st, 2020. Britain leaves the European Union. The UK has been a member of the European Union since 1973, when it was still called the European Communities, and was confirmed by referendum in 1975. In 2016, a referendum showed that the majority of the British people wanted to leave the EU. The negotiation process was carried out between UK and the EU. After 47 years of joining, the UK finally officially left the EU on January 31st, 2020. And that was today in history.
listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's My Indonesia, Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources Indonesia is capable of switching to EBT. Expert staff of the Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Satya Hanga Yuda believes Indonesia was capable of switching from fossil fuels to new and renewable energy, thus meeting the set carbon emission target. According to Satya, the transition process was carried out based on national capability limits and complied into the standards applied by developed countries. Satya, in his statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, explained that the energy transition must be gradual. Indonesia is switching to EBT, but coal is still a competitive and cheap energy source. Therefore, in order for Indonesia to be consistent with reducing carbon emission in coal-fired power plants, co-firing with biomass, and in the future with carbon storage technology is required. Satya said, under the leadership of President Prabowo, Indonesia will develop new renewable energy and reduce dependence on fossil fuels. He said that by 2040, more than 100 gigawatt of energy capacity will be built, 75% of which will come from renewable energy, 5 gigawatt nuclear, and 20 gigawatt from gas. The former oil and gas commercialization analyst of Oil and Gas Task Force hoped that with the presidential decree of the National Energy Security and Downstream Task Force led by the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, it can increase investment, downstreaming, and becoming a trigger for economic growth, job creation, and increased added value in Indonesia's commodities. Satya explained that Indonesia must be able to switch from fossil fuels to EBT to achieve the Paris Agreement target in 2030 and also net zero emission in 2060. Coal phase down is important, but there must be a solution. And that was My Indonesia.
Sekarang kau pikirkan salahmu. aku dulu, aku tak ingin bertemu kamu. Ku harap kamu akan berubah. Jangan hubungi aku dulu, aku tak ingin kau ganggu.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listener, if you ever been to Semarang Central Java, make sure you try some of the local dishes. Everyone knows about lumpia spring roll, but there's another gem you shouldn't miss, babat gongso. This dish has a unique and irresistible flavor, and you can enjoy it whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. While you are in Semarang, look for food vendors selling this dish. Babat gongso is often served by fried rice vendors, who either walk around with carts or set up small stalls in different areas. So what is babat gongso? Babat gongso is made from beef tripe, which is the soft part of a cow's stomach. The tripe is boiled until tender and stir-fried with a mix of spices. These spices include shallot, garlic, chilies, and sweet soy sauce. The result is a dish with a perfect balance of spicy heat from the chilies and sweetness from the soy sauce. It's best served with a plate of steaming white rice, a combination that's simply delicious. Listener, not only is babat gongso tasty, but it's also packed with protein from the beef tripe. If you're visiting Semarang, this dish is something you cannot leave without trying. It's an authentic part of the local food culture. Plus, it's affordable, with prices usually between 20,000 to 30,000 rupiah or $2 per serving, including rice. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
rasa bersama menjalani kasih sayang bahagia ku denganmu.
Listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miss Lily. Listener, today's Miss Lily informs you about a team of Indonesian students from the Department of Electrical Engineering and Information Technology, Faculty of Engineering, Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, joined Huawei Developer Competition 2024 Asia-Pacific at the Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, Thailand on January 20 to the 21st. In this competition, the students team up with students from the Department of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering as part of Team HyFlex. In a final round, Team HyFlex won first runner-up at the Huawei Developer Competition 2024 Asia-Pacific for their innovation after competing against 662,220 tins for a total price of $34,000. One of the team members, Aufa, said Team Hyflex created their innovation based on an idea they developed themselves. In this competition, each team developed information and communication technology solutions to solve real-world problems using Huawei's cloud technology. All teams were divided into two categories, Enterprise Track and Student Track. Each category had six winners selected through several stages, from submitting proposals, presenting demo solutions, and finally competing in a final round. Listener, in this Huawei Developer Competition Asia Pacific, two out of the six teams in the student track category were from Gajah Mada University. Besides Hyflex, another team called Claudia Crew, made up of students from the Department of Computer Science and Electronics, Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences at a university, won second runner-up. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
lewatkanmu terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi. Semakin ku kejar, semakin kau jauh, tak pernah lebih untuk dapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a special song from Central Sulawesi, namely Sampe Suburoa. In the Kaile language, Sampe Suburoa means cousins and friends. This song holds a special place in the hearts of Kaile people, who live in many parts of Central Sulawesi. It tells the story of a young man who leaves home, spending 20 years away pursuing a better life. But after years by years, his heart is still filled with longing for the people he left behind. Finally, he returns, hoping to reunite with his cousins and friends, just like old times. Well, listeners, let's enjoy the song Sampe Suburoa, beautifully performed by Indonesian legendary band from Palu, namely Ungu. Happy listening.
Hey! Ante sana kaili nalentora banua sampe sumuro.
Namun tak lagi tak seperti